This summer, my husband and I traveled to Providence, Rhode Island, to the Association of Episcopal Deacons Conference. Picture a room of 300 deacons. We met deacons from across North America and one from Cuba, whose introduction brought the house down. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, was a keynote speaker who also brought the house down in that room full of enthusiasm for the Jesus movement. On the second day, we walked as a group with Bishop Curry to the nearby Cathedral of St. John, founded in 1722. It houses the Center for Reconciliation and is an exhibit on Rhode Island's historic economic dependence on the slave trade. As I walked through the exhibit, I came through a chart illustrating the staggering amount that Rhode Island had invested in the slave trade in the 18th century. Lines showing the movement of money flowing back and forth between Rhode Island and the South formed a massive net that looked to be cast upon our nation from border to border. Churches were built on it too. In 1722, the livelihoods of most parishioners in Providence were dependent upon the economic engine of the slave trade, from shipbuilding to manufacturing the clothing of slaves. Already by then, our nation had worked itself into being stuck in the belly of a whale and remained there for a long time. Even to the morally outraged, it must have felt hopeless at times to envision an alternative. But in the gospel today, we encounter two people stuck in their circumstances, but who are invited into a new vision. The first is a woman who had been painfully bent over for a long time and could not stand up on her own power. But then one day, she went to the synagogue and Jesus called her forward. What went through her mind as she took that first step in front of the crowd? It likely took a dose of humility. Did she hesitate in fear, or was she done with fear? Maybe she had a quiet prayer that through her, God would demonstrate God's vision for God's people. We don't know what she was feeling at that first step, but we do know that she stepped forward and was delivered from the bondage of the spirit that bent her. She had moved from looking down at the ground to looking straight forward into the face of Jesus. I can only imagine the unbelievable relief of standing up proudly and joyfully after 18 years. In her praises that followed, I think she was expressing gratitude for something beyond just standing up straight, a release from bondage more lasting and more precious than overcoming her present circumstances. She received attention that challenged the power structure and stood up into an eternal vision of freedom bigger than herself. In her story, we get a hint of Jesus' own journey to come, a descending and rising. I get the feeling he relates to her. He knows she's been in a dim pit, but doesn't just throw her a rope. Instead, he's right there next to her saying, "I know every access point out of here. Let me help you up now, regardless of rules, so that you may experience the fullness of life." The leader of the synagogue enters then, indignant by Jesus threatening the sanctity of the Sabbath. I don't blame the leader for being touchy. His people had survived war atrocities and forced deportations. They had relied on the law and written prophecy to provide meaning and hope out of moral chaos. My guess is he truly loved the law and sacred tradition out of genuine desire to honor his people and glorify God. He just seemed to forget, though, that the prophets didn't put God into static categories. God was a lot of things, lawmaker and judge, but also creative healer who crosses divides. It's possible that underneath the synagogue leader's bluster, he saw truth standing right in front of him and remembered. Maybe his quiet prayer was, "Release us from what binds us. Show us the access points out. We want to stand at full stature too." A commentary I read on this gospel passage described it as the entirety of Jesus' mission in one reading. When we look carefully, it reads like a step-by-step instruction manual to new life. Come out of the crowd and be released by what binds you. Praise God. Then step outside the world's lines, self-imposed, inherited, or otherwise, and help others find space and grace to be unbound. This summer in our gospel readings, we've heard many stories that help illustrate the vision that Jesus has for us. We heard the story of Mary and Martha hosting and being hosted by Jesus. We heard cautions of storing up treasures on earth and about not making earthly dwellings, but rather looking up to Jesus' transfiguration and dazzling brightness. And now a light is being cast upon what keeps us bound from doing those things and the access points out. This is important today because the woman, the synagogue leader, and the parishioners of 1722 Providence, Rhode Island, for that matter, are far from alone in their stuckness. This summer, our nation has been working itself into the belly of another whale. Families across our country are being separated, and in one single day in Mississippi, 650 were arrested. In July, Jose Robles, who had been living in sanctuary at Gethsemane Lutheran in Seattle for 1 year, took the step to meet with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. His family said they were ready to take the step because they've taken so much from us, they've taken away our fear. A group which included members of this congregation at St. Mark's walked a mile with Jose to the Department of Homeland Security office. We stood together and linked arms, seeing truth right in front of us as he walked in. This situation is one where we cannot pull ourselves out of our own power. We need the instruction manual of the gospel today. Step forward, rise up, praise God, allow grace. We hear in Isaiah today, the Lord will make our bones strong, and when we honor the Sabbath, we're made to ride upon the heights of the earth. Brothers and sisters, that sounds like freedom. On this Sabbath, may God grant us release from the stuck places of our lives. May we stand fully into Jesus' vision of freedom. Step forward, rise up, praise God, allow grace.